your hands and just worship him. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. Come on, worship. Open your mouth and begin to speak to him. Come on, open your mouth and let the Spirit just begin to flow out of you.
At such a time like this, I love to remind myself of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, which says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Jesus Christ, the same before COVID-19 came. During COVID-19, he's still the same. His power remains the same. And when there will be no COVID-19 again, he remains the same. He's still Jesus. So with the excitement of the reality of that scripture, I want you to join me as we sing this chorus to the Lord. He says, since I was born, and now I'm growing up, I've never seen the Lord change it. Hallelujah. Amen. Since I was born, and now I am growing up, I have never seen the Lord change it. Oh yes, since I was born, and now I am growing up, I have never seen the Lord change. Have you ever seen him change it? No, 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 no. Since I was born, I have never seen the Lord. Anybody, have you ever seen a change? Oh, no, 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 no. Since I was born, I have never seen the Lord. Let's sing it one more time. Since I was born, and now I am growing up, I have never seen the Lord change. Since I was born, and now I am growing up, I have never seen the Lord change. Anybody have you seen a change? No, 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 no. Since I was born, I have never seen the Lord. Have you ever seen him change? No, 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 no. Since I was born, I have never seen the Lord change. Immortal, invisible, God the only wise, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. We bow before your majesty this morning. We thank you, each and every one of us, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, Almighty God, for the privilege of being called your own. Thank you for the assurance you are bringing to us in this retreat, that you have configured us for conquest. And so we ask, Almighty God, even as we go into this second message this morning, that you will open the eyes of each and every one of us to see what exactly it is that is written about us. Lord, we ask that every mindset that is unbiblical, Lord, such mindset will be removed this morning, and you will impart unto us the mentality of the conquerors, the kind of mindset we need to walk with God, to do exploits for God in our days, to live victoriously all the days of our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For we know that your word will come this morning with healing on its wings. It will heal, it will deliver, and it will grant understanding unto the simple. Lord, we are grateful. In Christ Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Please quickly turn with me your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55. That's the first word this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read verse 11. Isaiah 55, verse 11. The Lord says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, the professional teachers will tell us that when you are teaching, there are desired results and there are actual results. Desired results means the result that the teacher is desiring that he will see in his student. An actual result is the actual thing that he eventually saw in the lives of his student. This Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 that we read this morning shows us the desired result that our God expects. Anytime he gathers his people together for a retreat of this nature, the desired result of his heart is that as his word goes forth to his people, it's not going to return to him void. And I pray for you this morning that the actual result that God will eventually see in your life will tally with this. The word of the Lord will not return void. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in your life, the word of the Lord will accomplish that which pleases God. The word of the Lord will prosper in the very reason for which the Lord is sending the word unto us in this retreat. Learning also from professional teachers, there is something they call lesson objectives. Lesson objective means a brief statement that describes what students will be expected to learn by the end of a particular lesson or a class period. May I just summarize to you the lesson objective, what we are trusting the Lord among several other things that will begin to happen after this retreat. One of it is that victory will become your second name. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
You will begin to live a life of victory continually, continuously. Victory continuously. There's not going to be up and down again. There's not going to be hot today, cold tomorrow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, victory will be your portion continually in the name of Jesus Christ. When the Lord gave this theme, configured for conquest, personally I asked again and again, Dear Holy Spirit, why this emphasis? Why this theme? Why reiterating it again and again for the entirety of the year 2020? That we are configured for conquest. And the first thing he spoke very gently to my heart is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people need to know that which has been freely given to them. My people need to know that the man, the woman that God formed, that God packaged, he configured him for success, for conquest. My people need to know the mentality of, okay, the devil can do whatever he likes with my life. He can give me a knock today, a jab tomorrow, a push the next day. That mentality must go. It is lack of knowledge that makes you to think that devil could have a free course in your affairs. The man God configured, he configured him for victory, for conquest, for dominion. That's the man God configured. And people like Daniel understood that. He said, those who know their God will be what? Strong. And they will do exploits. That means that those who don't know their God, those who lack the knowledge of the intention of God for their lives, they will be weak. And they will be exploited. Oh, may that not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, the way to value the weight of a world is to try to look at it in the reverse. So when Daniel said, those who know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploit, you will value that statement and you will pursue the knowledge of God all the days of your life if you know what the reverse side of that statement means. The reverse side is simply, those who don't know their God will be weak and will be exploited. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy will never exploit you again. Amen. And the knowledge of God that is coming your way via this retreat will impart strength into your life. And will make you to do exploits for God all the days of your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, when we are talking about the knowledge that launches you into the realm of experiencing conquest, the reality of conquest, it's an all-encompassing knowledge, brethren. It's a knowledge you seek and it helps you to know the things that make God smile and the things that could make God frown. You see, that is the area where Brother Samson missed it. He was a highly educated man. Look at all the riddles and jokes he was cracking. He was a highly anointed man. He had knowledge. But this branch of knowledge was lacking in the life of Samson. He didn't bloody care. And I guess he didn't even know. Things that make God smile and things that make God frown. Maybe he even lacked discipleship. Maybe he lacked spiritual authorities over his life that will call him to order. Come on, you don't do that. Don't let anointing push you into liberty unlimited. You don't do that. So he lacked the knowledge of do's and don'ts of the carriers of anointing. So this knowledge we are talking about That we help you to enjoy what you are configured for. It's all encompassing, like I said. It even goes ahead to help you to see the provisions of God for your life. The provision for protection. Like you see in 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 15 to 17. Elisha was just enjoying himself in the presence of God. Elijah could see the divine arrangement God has made for his protection. But the servant of Elijah couldn't see it. So in verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6, the servant of Elisha began to cry, "Hey, what are we going to do? See the enemy surrounding us. How shall we run? Where shall we run to?" And the man of God, who knew that God is not going to leave his servant at the mercy of the devil, he prayed and said, "Please, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. Help him to see what I am seeing." And in verse 17, the Lord answered that prayer. The servant of Elisha was able to see the security arrangement that God has made for them. He said, "Wow! The knowledge of God will launch you into the pedestal of walking in the reality of what God has configured you to be." That's the first thing he spoke to me. That we need to emphasize, configured for conquest, because lack of knowledge of things like this has wrecked the faith of many people. And this second thing he spoke to my heart is that we need to talk about configured for conquest because there is a life that we are called to live. And we must not live anything less than that. Quite a number of people in the Bible have lived less than what God configured for various reasons. Esau lived less than what God configured. King Saul lived less than what God configured. Brother Samson lived less than what God configured. And the list are endless in the Bible. There is a life that God configured you to live. And you must not live less than that, beloved. And the secret into living that very life of victory in every area is the knowledge that God is imparting to you via this retreat. And the third thing he spoke to my heart, why he's giving us this emphasis, configured for conquest, is the reality of spiritual warfare. The servant of God mentioned yesterday night that when you talk about conquest, it connotes that there is a warfare. And I heard him loud and clear, just like you did also, that we have a war to fight and a battle to win. And that is the truth. This thing called spiritual warfare, whether you like it or not, it is a reality, beloved. And you are not the one that actually called for it, that come on, let's fight. It is the enemy that declared the fighting. And you will do yourself a favor to realize it. That there is a warfare going on. And there are configurations that God has made for you. That will put you at an advantage in this warfare. And that's the reason why Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So there is a fighting that is going on. There is a wrestling that is spiritual in nature. And if you know that that wrestling is spiritual in nature, then you are not going to use the weapon that is carnal. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us. You are not going to apply a carnal weapon, you know, because the battle, the warfare is spiritual. And this warfare is not something you initiated. No, the enemy initiated it. And you don't have option. You have to fight and win. So Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Whenever you see a physical wickedness being manifested by some agent of the devil somewhere, know that that is just a reflection of what obtains in the spiritual realm. And now verse 13 now tells us something. That God didn't just allow us to walk into this warfare without making preparations for us. Verse 13 now says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. It is the armor of God. It is God that puts these things into place. It is God that configured them, prepared them, but it is your responsibility to take them on. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, feet that are equipped with the gospel of peace. Take them on, put them on. God has prepared those things for you so that you will not enter into the battle defenseless. So that you will not enter into the battle unprepared. So there is a spiritual warfare going on. And the earlier you know it, the better. And in addition to that, there are provisions that God has made for you. Those provisions have already put you at an advantage. If you get to know those configurations, those provisions, and you will put them on, it is your responsibility to put them on yourself. So there is a necessity, you know, to remind us these things and to assure us and reassure us again and again. And one more thing, he whispered to my heart when I was seeking to know why this theme, why this emphasis, the one more thing he spoke to my heart is that, look, God has not changed his mind concerning the man he created. Hallelujah. And if you read Genesis chapter 1, you will see the man that God created. He said, let's make man in our image. The Message version says, let's create man to reflect us. And let's give him dominion over every other thing that we have created. That was the Genesis that led to the existence of man. And we are saying that God has not changed his mind. If he wants you, as you are seated there, to be reflecting in wherever you are, if he wants you to be walking in the image of the one that created you, to walk in the image of Him that created you, to walk in victory, to dominate the things that God has created. He still wants you to be conquering the forces that are conquering other people. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, you are more than conqueror. Because the forces that are pulling other people by nose into iniquity and sin, pulling other people by nose into destruction, God meant you to conquer those forces. So by so doing, you are more than conquerors, more than conquering forces. So the Lord spoke to my heart that these are the reasons why He's bringing unto us the emphasis on the fact that we are configured for conquest. And I pray it again in the name of Jesus, that the actual result that God will see in your life after now will tally with His desired result. Will tally with things that He sees about you. You know, Paul prayed this prayer. He said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And in the same Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, he prayed again that I may apprehend that which God apprehend about me. That I may understand that which God sees about me. Another version says that I may lay hold on the reason why God has laid hold upon my life. And at this juncture, I want to announce to you that God has no pleasure in the failure of any of His children. Did you hear that clearly well? God has no pleasure in the failure or downfall of any of His children. His pleasure actually is to see you dominating, ruling. His pleasure actually is to see you being in charge. His pleasure actually is to see you move from victory to victory, from glory to glory, from strength unto strength. When you say jege-jege believer somewhere, God has no pleasure in such jege-jege. Rising today, falling tomorrow. God has no pleasure in that. God has no pleasure in seeing any of His children fail. And I pray in the name of Jesus that failure will become a stranger to you. It will no longer know your address. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday, the servant of God gave us the definition of what it means to configure. Let me just quickly remind you so that this is going to help you to understand a few more things that time is going to permit us to say this morning. To configure means to arrange or order or package something like a computer or asset. Or arrange, order, or package someone like you, to fit you into what God has designed you to be. And I want to draw your attention quickly to the way that the Lord Jesus Christ delivered unto us the Great Commission mandate, so that you understand the meaning of configuration, that it means to arrange, to order, to package somebody in such a way that the person fits into what he is designed for and into a designated assignment. Look at the way Jesus gave us the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, he declared, "All powers in heaven and earth has been given unto me." Therefore, that therefore there means, on this basis, on the basis of this declaration, that all powers in heaven and on earth are mine, then you can go. Meaning that there is no power you are going to meet in the mission field that are not subservient, that are not under my feet. When a missionary goes out, when an outreach coordinator like you lead the people of God into villages for an outreach, and you have this understanding that Jesus Christ, in giving you the great commission mandate, has actually packaged you in such a way that the great commission work is going to be doable for you. And when you look at it the way he puts it in Mark chapter 16, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures." And he got to verse 17, he said, "These signs will follow them that believe." It means he is not sending you empty handed. He is sending you fully configured for conquest. And you look at the list of those signs. Wow. They are loaded. And when you look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, there again it says, "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost end of the earth." The Lord will not send you into an assignment empty-handed. TSC coordinator, the Lord will not give you that assignment empty-handed. He has configured you for what you need to succeed. And like the servant of God said yesterday, you only need to discover that configuration. Perfect your own aspect of the configuration, because it's a two-way configuration. Just like your phone handset is two-way. There are things that the manufacturer has put into it already. But when you get hold of it, there are things that you yourself, you have to set in that same phone, so that the phone will serve you the way you want it to serve you. In the spiritual realm, it is the same. God has packaged together things you need for success in that assignment. And listen, not only in the Great Commission assignment, but even in your profession, in your career, in your academics. That is one of the things Brother Daniel understood, and it stood him out. That thing stood him out. He will not joke with his secret. "You are saying I should not pray? Come on, you are joking. If I don't pray, then I'll become like every ordinary man." Whoever it is that is making that decree, sorry, I must be found in my powerhouse. God is not sending you to where he has sent you defenseless. No. He has the configuration put in place. And if we should run back to the Old Testament to establish this, you see the same thing in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 9, the Lord spoke to Noah, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the heart." The heart means the heart. Replenish Africa, replenish Australia, replenish the Caribbean, replenish America, replenish Europe, replenish Asia, replenish the heart. And verse 2 of that Genesis chapter 9, tells you so much about the loving heart, the caring heart of our God, that He will not send you into the assignment He has given you without configuring you for conquest, for success. So Genesis chapter 9 verse 2 says, "And the fear of you will be upon every beast of the forest." I said, what a loving God. What a loving God. He said Noah should occupy every slab, every face of the heart. And he knew that those places he's sending him to go and occupy, there are beasts there. So he equipped him with that word, with that statement. He said, the fear of you, the dread of you, will be upon every beast of the forest. So even as early as Genesis chapter 9, God will not give Noah an assignment which he has not configured him, packaged him for victory, for conquest. Just look around you, beloved. What is it that you are doing today, whether secular or spiritual? In what job are you? In what career are you? In what ministerial work are you? God has made adequate provisions for you. You just need to discover it, then perfect it by playing your own role in the configuration. And I tell you, no matter the rage of the enemy, you are a conqueror. No matter the antagonism that the enemy is raising, you are unstoppable. Simply unstoppable. Simply unstoppable. Hallelujah. That is what configuration means. God has packaged you. God has arranged you in such a way that He has made available what you need for life, for godliness, for ministry, for your career. And then the conquest we are talking about, you need to actually understand it in details. And that's why we just give you this few meaning of conquest. Number one, it means to gain control over something that is difficult. If there is something that is difficult that you are handling today, remember that God has configured you for conquest, and so eventually you will gain control over it. Number two, conquest also means to succeed in climbing to the top of the mountain. So you will climb to the top of your career in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will reach the peak that anyone can reach in ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, reaching the peak in ministry is not synonymous with becoming general overseer. It's not synonymous with becoming president and founder. All of us cannot be president and founder. All of us cannot be general overseer. But all of us can reach the peak that God has prepared for us in ministry. That is the meaning of conquest. It also means to defeat an enemy. And listen carefully at this point. When I say conquest means to defeat an enemy, your mind will quickly go to witches and wizards, that person in my office that is making charm, blah, blah, blah. Yes. Those people, because they have lent themselves to the devil to use, they could be categorized truly as enemies. But may I let you know this, that your arch enemy is the devil. And now there is another enemy that is more powerful than those you are pointing your finger to in your office and in your neighborhood. I call this one the enemies within. The one that colludes with your flesh and wanting you to disobey the word of God. That is the enemies within. It is the most difficult to conquer. When it is a matter of the enemy without, what did the Bible say about the devil? It says, resist him and he will flee, isn't he? Oh, but there are some enemies within, inside of you, that takes more than just a single statement of resistance. There are some of those enemies inside of you that will demand, instead of resisting, you run. There are some of those enemies within that will demand being ruthless in dealing with them. So conquest means defeating an enemy, including the enemies within, including the work of the flesh, including those things that the devil wants to collude with in order to derail you. So conquest means overcoming those things, the works of the flesh. Have you conquered the works of the flesh? They are listed in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Have you conquered them? After now, I want you to open Galatians chapter 5 and read them one by one by one, and ask yourself sincerely, with all sincerity, that this work of the flesh that the Bible listed here, have I actually conquered them? That is the conquest we are talking about. You know, some of them that Samson could not conquer, they are the ones that eventually came and made Samson a loser. Have you conquered your own? Have you conquered lust? Have you conquered ungodly thoughts? Have you conquered anger? Have you conquered revenge? Have you conquered inordinate affection? Have you conquered those things that are listed in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19? That is the conquest we are talking about. Because someone who doesn't conquer those things will come back later to allow the enemy to conquer him. So conquest means defeating the enemies, including the enemies within. Conquest also means you surviving in a difficult terrain. No terrain could be more difficult than the one in which Joseph walked. No terrain could be more difficult than the one in which Daniel walked. Wow! Those terrains were difficult. No terrain could be more difficult than the one in which the early disciples walked. You know the hearts of the apostles very well. So surviving in a difficult terrain, surviving in a situation that sank others, that is conquest. Conquest also means accomplishing a difficult task. Are you looking at the Great Commission work as being difficult? You will accomplish it in the name of Jesus. When you are able to accomplish a difficult task, then you are a conqueror. You have conquered that task. And lastly, conquest also means possessing a land for Christ. You see that word conquest used quite often in the book of Joshua, because in the book of Joshua they were busy possessing the land that God has promised them, and possessing those land will come with a fight. Possessing the land that God has promised us. If you want to know the land that God has promised us, go and read again the Great Commission verses, the Great Commission mandate verses. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18, Mark chapter 16 from verse 15, Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, and then you quickly run back to Psalm 2, so that you will know the land that God is expecting you and I to conquer. You go to Psalm 2. He said, ask of me, and I will give you. Psalm 2 verse 8. The hidden nations for your inheritance. The uttermost end of the earth as your possession. That is conquest. And of course, you know that that is not going to go freely without the enemy putting up a fight. You are going to possess that village for the Lord. The enemy will put up a fight. I remember the very first festival of mercy that took us to the northern part of Benin Republic. God kept preparing our hearts during orientation. That when you hear the voice of the Lord saying, let us go to the other side, you better prepare yourself for battle. We didn't know why, but God kept emphasizing and emphasizing that learning from Mark chapter 4, when the Lord says, let's get to the other side, northern Benin Republic, to possess the land there for Jesus. Get ready for battle. We hadn't gone for more than 2 hours when we ran into the midst of communities that are fighting. It was serious. We saw about 100 men, young men and middle-aged men carrying guns, and we ran into their midst. But the Lord saved us. Those who were in FM, 2009, we remember what I'm talking about. And that was just the beginning of a series of it, just as we saw it in Mark chapter 4. So possessing the land that God has promised us to possess usually will involve a fight. Usually will involve a combat. Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14 that devil does not allow his prisoners to go scot-free. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 12, you want to carry what belongs to a strong man, it's not going to happen that easily. You have to bind the strong man, and after you have bound the strong man, and the process of binding the strong man is a battle. And after you have bound the strong man, then you can carry the things that belong to him. So when we are talking about possessing the lands that God has allotted to us to possess for him, that is part of what conquest is talking about. Come to think of it. When the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Has it ever occurred to you that Jesus was giving us an invasion order? Because all the world he said we should go to, there are demons, there are principalities, there are powers that are there lording it over men and women already. And he said, go. So it means that when we get there, and there's going to be a battle, but it is a battle that is long decided before you are born. Amen. And that's why God is telling you about configure for conquest. So you understand the life you are called to live, so that you understand what the assignment that God has given you to carry out, what it involves. May I then put it to you, my beloved brother. If the assignment you are handling for the Lord now is looking undoable, you are looking at the mission field where you are, that these people are unreachable. You are looking at the communities that you know that these are the communities TSC brethren should go and plant churches there, because if that too, there is no church there. If that assignment is looking undoable, then you need to go back to the basis. And what is the basis we are talking about in this retreat, the basis is your examination afresh of what you are doing with the divine configuration that God has given you. Are you perfecting your own aspect of the deal? Are you perfecting your own aspect of the responsibility? Because if you are doing that, I tell you, there is no assignment that will be undoable for you. I also put it to you, my beloved brother, in your service unto the Lord, if the Sambalat and the Tobias are getting too strong for you, and they are beginning to weaken your hand, do you know what you need to do? Get back to the basis. Because for the Nehemiah of the Bible, of the book of Nehemiah, the Sambalat and the Tobias were no match for him. Hallelujah. The Sambalat and the Tobias, they were no match for Nehemiah. With the wisdom of God, with the weapons he carried with one hand and laboring with the other hand, with the mindset he possessed, the mindset of finishing the work in due time, and within 52 days, he finished the assignment. So even your own case, the Sambalat and the Tobias are looking as if they are getting too strong and they are weakening your hand. Don't run away. Just go and check the basis, the foundation, the issue, which is what God is bringing to us right now. When the configuration is properly done, like Nehemiah did, he will stand up and say, will such a man like me run? When the configuration is properly done, you will rise up and speak back to the enemy and say, that chief of that village that said there is not going to be a church here, you are a joker. Whether with you being alive or otherwise, a church is going to be planted there. And you better don't make a mistake of saying over your dead body. Church is coming to that place. We have had opportunities to speak back to some community leaders like that. That, hey Baba, I hope you know that there is no one that speaks and it come to pass except God has ordained it. This land will welcome a church. Church is going to be built here. Let's just ensure that we get back to the basis, configuration. And if you are the one that the throne that God has promised you is getting too far, the more you move, the more it looks as if the throne is moving back. And you are beginning to wonder, will I ever get there? You will get there. Because I don't think Joseph of the Bible ever doubted the word of God. What was the confidence inside of Joseph? Despite these 13 long years, despite these 13 years of walking seemingly in the opposite direction of the truth, sold into slavery, became an house boy. From being an house boy, they lied against him and they found themselves in the prison. He became a prisoner. It was as if he was going in the opposite direction of the throne. But when you study Joseph very well, you will know that there couldn't have been any doubt in the heart of Joseph as to the integrity of the word of God, as to the fact that God is going to do what he said he will do. What was the secret of Joseph? This divine configuration. On one part, God had configured Joseph for conquest. He will conquer every enemy and he will get to the throne. And listen carefully. Part of the configuration God gave Joseph was the gift of dreams and interpretation of dreams. But despite the fact that God has done that for Joseph, listen, Joseph did not fail in his own aspect of the deed. Joseph on a daily basis was also configuring himself for conquest with purity, with diligence, with honesty, with a correct prayer life, with intimacy with the Lord God Almighty. Joseph kept configuring himself for conquest continually, and the movement that looked as if it was in the opposite direction of the throne, suddenly things turn around overnight. Hallelujah. Joseph got to the throne. Amen. Overnight, he got there. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you too, you will eventually sing that song that says, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. I say, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Jehovah turns my life around. Jehovah turns my life around. He makes a way where there seems no way. Jehovah has the final say. You will sing that song of victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Just keep doing what Joseph was doing. We discover eventually that the journey that looked as if it was in the opposite direction of the throne is actually moving you closer and closer and closer to the throne. Hallelujah. There are a few things I believe the Lord wants us to share, but because of time, we might need to pause a little bit here for now, trusting God for opportunity in the course of this retreat to bring the rest of this journey unto us. But I will want you to just whisper a prayer to God where you are. I will want you to say something to the Lord regarding what He has spoken to you this morning. Say something to the Lord regarding the reasons He said and the reasons why He's emphasizing this unto you. By speaking His word unto you, the Lord has stretched forth His hand to help you. Can you stretch forth your hand also to receive help from the Lord? Can you stretch forth your hand also to receive help from the Lord? That for you, configured for conquest will not be a mirage. It will be a reality. For you, every form and facet of ignorance that has plagued you hitherto, let them be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, speak unto yourself that whatever strategy the enemy has used to plague you in the past, those strategies will no longer work against you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Raposuto Pakisto. Linge rossa capaia, linge de tu soturi masenda la cupro mosta. Rige de cumbra lisa, kunde yede, rige de bos. Rise from this retreat in the name of the Lord, experiencing the reality of the fact that we are configured for conquest, we are configured for victory, we are configured for advancement. In the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever strategy the enemy has used to cheat you in the past, I decree today in the name of Jesus that those strategies will no longer work. Because you are rising up from this retreat to begin to walk in the reality of what the Creator created you for. In the name of Jesus. And I decree unto you in the name of Jesus that every ignorance has come to an end today. I speak unto you, Ephatah, be opened. Your mind be opened. Your eyes be opened. Your understanding be opened so that faith may rise up inside of you to be the exact man that you are created to be. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus, you will not live a life that is less than what God has configured. The desire of God will find fulfillment in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. From this moment, your name, your second name is Victory, Conqueror, Victory, Conqueror, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Let's begin to bring our prayer as we close. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. As you go forth from this retreat, you are stepping into continuous victory. As you go forth from this retreat, you are stepping into the reality of conquest in every respect. As you go forth from this retreat, the enemies within and the enemies without, from today they are no match for you. You conquer them. From today you walk upon your high places. You will ride on the high places of the heart, and you will become a living testimony of the reality of the fact that we are configured for conquest. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.
Mr. Hanson, just worship him. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. Come on, worship. Open your mouth and begin to speak to him. Come on, open your mouth and let the Spirit just begin to flow out of you.